be reading for today, the external solemnity of the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, to me, the very least of all saints, there was given this grace to announce among the Gentiles the good tidings of the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to enlighten all men as to what is the dispensation of the mystery which has been hidden from eternity in God, who created all things, in order that through the church there may be made known to the principalities and the powers in the heavens the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him we have assurance and confident access through faith in him. For this reason I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fathers in heaven and on earth receives his name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. The Gospel is taken from the Acts of St. John. At that time, the Jews, since it was the preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a solemn day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers opened his side with a lance, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who saw it is borne witness, and his witness is true. And he knows that he tells the truth, that you may also believe. For these things came to pass that the scripture might be fulfilled, not the bone of him shall you break. And again, another scripture says, it shall look upon him whom they have accursed. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Let's begin with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every autumn, the Feast of Tabernacles is celebrated as the final and most important holiday of the Jewish year. The Feast of Tabernacles begins 5 days after the Day of Atonement, on the 15th of Israel's 7th month, September or October, around there. The scripture historian, Edersheim, describes the ceremony. As at the Passover and Pentecost, the altar of burnt offering was cleansed during the first night watch, and the gates of the temple were thrown open immediately after midnight. They did this by getting in all kinds of water and pouring it over this altar, which was always kept burning in order to offer the sacrifice. And this is the cleansing of the altar, which took place 3 times a year. In the morning, while the first sacrifice of the day was being prepared, a priest, accompanied by a faithful singing in hymns in procession, went down to the pool of Siloam, from which he drew water in a golden pitcher. At the same time, the procession for the water went, another procession went out into the Kedron Valley. You recall, that's the valley where our blessed Lord went through the night of his passion and bled across the Kedron Brook. And they went into this valley and they brought out willow branches and palm branches. These people came back in procession with these palm branches and willow branches. They brought them into the altar, and the priest took them and they placed these branches on the sides of the altar, forming a sort of a canopy, a little tabernacle, or a little tent over the altar. Then the priest came and met them with a golden pitcher of water. He brought this water from the pool of Siloam, and he took this water, and then he took some wine. And he poured the wine on the east side of the altar, and then he took the water and poured that out on the west side of the altar. So you can picture this, you have this altar, this burning altar, with these branches that are set up over it. And then you have the water and wine being poured. After that altar has been cleansed and purified by the water the night before the meal. While they're doing this, they're singing the great Hallel. It's the Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. And it's the song in there where it says, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. So you have the cleansing of this altar of sacrifice with water, the drawing out of the waters from the pool of Siloam, the procession of palm branches, escorting the priest carrying the water, and the pouring out of this water and wine on the altar as Hosanna is being sung. All these things should bring some things to mind for us, some hints of things we see both in the Holy Mass and during our liturgical year. Palm Sunday, the bringing up of the water and wine, the cleansing of the altar we did just before Mass with the holy water and the asperges. Remember, of course, our Lord's entry into Jerusalem when the multitude cut down palm branches. Now, this wasn't in the autumn when they did this. This was at the Passover. They see they recognized in Christ the true high priest, not bringing up the pitcher of water for the cleansing of the altar, the cleansing of the temple there, but they recognize Christ himself, the true high priest. So they made a connection with the Feast of Tabernacles. They cut down the palm branches and bring them before our Lord, and they shouted Hosanna to the Son of David, just like they had at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is normally in autumn. So they made this connection. And then what did our Lord do? He went into the temple and he cleansed it. Remember the thief? Not the thief, but yeah, basically the money changers, right? They were in the temple and he cleansed the temple. And keep in mind our part in it, as you can say, it's represented by the people that brought these branches. This is a symbol of us. What we do at Palm Sunday when we're carrying the branches on Palm Sunday, it's a symbol of us carrying our cross. That's the sacrifice we bring to this altar. Keep these things in mind. And we bring those, just like the branches were brought to the altar, we bring these also to the altar. And they're placed on the altar at the offering, where the water and the wine is also poured out. All these things, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, all these things were written as a figure. Israel is a symbol of the church. So whenever you're reading the scripture, keep that in mind. Israel is a symbol of the church. And so this is fulfilled in us. Now, it was on that day, okay, that day of autumn, when they had the Feast of Tabernacles, while they had been washing out the altar, cleansing it out, that our Lord came and he stood among the people. And the moment when the great Hallel was being sung, while that water and wine was being poured out, our Lord stood and cried in the temple, as we see in John 7, verse 37 and following. He says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he said this in the spirit, which they which received who believed in him. Now think about this. Think about the image of what's going on. They had been cleansing the temple, the altar, all night, and so they have water being poured on this altar. And it's flowing out from the temple. It's flowing out and it flow out the right side of the temple. And the symbol of this washing going on. And at this moment, our Lord says, if any man believe in me, let him come to me and drink. Any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Because you see, our Lord wants to come into the temple of our souls. He wants us to make a little tabernacle for him in our souls, just like we did in symbol with the palm branches. Those are brought to the altar, they form a little tabernacle, a little tent, a dwelling place. God wants us to make a dwelling place in our souls for him, a virtue, a practicing virtue. This is how we prepare our souls. And so God fulfills this in his Almighty Son. Think about this reality also. In Genesis 2, we have something explained there. In the middle of the Garden of Eden, there was a spring. And the spring came out from the middle of the garden, and divided and formed four rivers. The Tigris, the Euphrates, the Pison, and the Gihon River. So these four rivers went out and descended Genesis 2, watered the whole world. Before the flood, before the topography changed, the flood, he had Eden on top of the mountain. The water flowed downhill, so it went down and watered the whole world. This was the spring which watered the whole world. But see, our Lord fulfills this perfectly. He is the true spring which waters our souls, the whole souls of all the people in the world. And not Eden on the mountain, but you have Calvary on the mountain, which became a spring, the source of that spring, out of which flowed the waters. And when did those waters start to flow? When our blessed Lord's side was pierced, and the blood and water flowed out. And the wine and water being poured out on the altar. These are all connected, all these symbols are connected. But out of our Lord's heart flowed the river, the water, and the blood. They flow out spiritually over the whole world. This is actually symbolizing something we have right here on the altar. Notice here, it's fulfilled again. Because what is the Holy Mass if not Calvary represented before us? That same sacrifice. Christ died only once, he doesn't die again, it's that same sacrifice. As if we look back in time, we're present here, and we have that spring, that source of water, our life, placed right here in our presence. I hope that penetrates our souls. I hope that gratitude just springs up in our souls like a well. Oh, this great gift, in the presence of God, renewing this miracle in front of our very eyes. And just like we have Mount Calvary, out of which flowed the waters of the whole world, so we have a little mountain here, huh? That's why we have steps. It's a little symbol of that mountain. We have a cross also to symbolize Calvary as well. And also to symbolize the fact that that water would flow out down to the whole world to water it spiritually. And the grace that comes from the Holy Mass. That's why we have the altar cloths, which go all the way down to the floor. That's not an accident. That's a rumor. The top cloth is supposed to go all the way down to the floor. The reason for that is to symbolize this grace spilling from the altar to water the whole world. It's like when they're pouring the wine and the water over the wall over the altar in the temple. It's symbolizing the fact that the grace of those offerings which were placed on that altar in the temple are going out to the whole world. But now here we have the perfect sacrifice. Our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity, without which, if you didn't have this offering, the world would destroy. Self-destruct. Really. The world would cease to exist. It would go into absolute chaos. The Holy Mass would cease to be celebrated. We need, first of all, priests. We need the sacrifice we offer in order to placate the good God on the sins the world and we ourselves commit. Hold back the wrath of God. To beg God, ask Him for His blessing upon us, for conversion of our hearts, that we can actually purify our temples of our soul, so that we can prepare a dwelling place fit for the good God. I remember the words of the prophets that foretold this cleansing of our soul. It's foreshadowed in Ezekiel, chapter 47, verse 1. Behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house toward the east. The waters came down to the right side of the temple, just as our Lord was pierced on the right side of the temple of His body. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side, and every living creature, whithersoever the torrent shall come, shall live. And all things shall live to which the torrent of water, shall come. It's a prophecy of piercing the right side of our blessed Lord, exposing His sacred heart from which flowed blood and water, which we benefit from. Isaiah foretold this also. Isaiah 12, verse 3. You shall draw waters with joy out of the Savior's fountains. Rejoice and praise, O thou habitation of Zion, for great is he that is in the midst of thee, the Holy One of Israel. It's a prophecy. These saving waters have come forth from the Savior, from the Savior's mountain, and he would dwell in the midst of us, especially in sanctifying grace, also here present, body, blood, soul, divinity, and most blessed sacrament. Zechariah 12, verse 10. I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, prayers. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. In that day there shall be opened a fountain to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for the washing of the sinner and of the unclean woman. An unclean woman is a symbol of the church, not purified yet, but whichever prepares, purifies, and baptizes. There's one other prophecy I want to point out. Ezekiel 36. I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. Think about how God fulfilled this. We couldn't imagine the way God fulfilled this. He would take out of us the sinful heart and give us a heart of flesh, the sacred heart, blessed Lord, to be placed in us when we receive Him in Holy Communion, in order to be a wellspring of water, of life for us. That what the Father did for the Son, and give Him a human heart that we can relate to, give us life. God the Holy Ghost also did for His spouse, the Blessed Virgin Mary, giving her a motherly heart that we can also have recourse to. Our Lord wants to spread devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Sister Lucia, one of the children who saw Our Lady at Fatima, she had a vision of Our Lord. She asked Him why Our Lord wanted Russia consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the conversion of Russia, and then after that of the world. Our Lord replied, quote, because I want my whole church to recognize that consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as a triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, so that later on it will put the devotion to the Immaculate Heart beside the devotion to my Sacred Heart. Close quote. This is important to the heart of the high priest, that his mother also be honored. Our Lady promised us, remember the promise of the five percenters by which we make reparation, have that devotion to the Immaculate Heart. She said to Sister Lucia, quote, you at least try and console me, and announce in my name that I promise to assist at the hour of death of all the graces necessary for salvation. All those who on the first Saturdays of five consecutive months confess, receive Holy Communion, and notice interject here, it's receive Holy Communion, not take communion. I hope that vocabulary hasn't gotten as good as yours. The world uses that kind of garbage, okay? But we don't take anything from God. We receive. And it's not communion, it's Holy Communion. It's God. We don't take it from God. We receive in an attitude of submission. It's Holy Communion. So don't let the vocabulary of the world get into your vocabulary. We don't take communion, we receive Holy Communion. Okay. I'll get off the soapbox now. But, you know, really, watch the world vocabulary sneaks in, okay? Now back to Our Lady's words. Receive Holy Communion. Recite the rosary. And keep me company for 15 minutes, meditating on the 15 mysteries of the rosary with the intention of making reparation to, close quote, Our Blessed Mother. Why is this so important? We talk about five percenters. Why is it important? Why is this important? Our Lord answered that question. Sister Lucia asked our Lord, why is it important? Why five for status? Our Blessed Lord responded, quote, my daughter, the reason is simple. There are five types of offenses and blasphemies committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Spinal interjection. He loves his mother. He hates to see her blasphemy. These are the reasons given by our Lord, back to our Lord's words. Quote, blasphemies against the Immaculate Conception. The first one. The second, blasphemies against her perpetual virginity. The third, blasphemies against her divine maternity, in refusing at the same time to recognize her as the mother of men. Now, my only rejection, every problem with her being the mother, or you know people that have a problem with, are they being the mother? Point them to Revelation 12:17. Revelation 12:17 is very clear. Revelation 12:17. Okay, back to our Lord's words. The fourth reason. The blasphemies of those who publicly seek to sow in the hearts of children indifference or scorn or even hatred of the Immaculate Mother. The fifth reason, the offenses of those who outrage her directly in her holy images. So the five things we're making reparation for about five first Saturdays. But look what a mother she is to us. We need to make this reparation anyway, huh? We need to do this anyway. But our daily process, and if we do this, reparation, these horrible blasphemies against Our Lady, she promises all the graces necessary for salvation. What a mother. What a mother. She can't refuse. Our Lord can't refuse anything from her. So she pleads for us. But we have to ask her. We have to honor her because our Lord wants her honor. Remember the words of the prophet. Behold, there ran out waters from the right side of the temple. In that day there should be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for the washing of the sinner. He shall draw waters with joy out of the Savior's fountains. Rejoice, for great is he that is in the midst of thee, the Holy One of Israel. Rejoice, for great is he that is in the midst of thee, the Holy One of Israel. He is in the midst of thee, the Holy One of Israel. And Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.